Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. We thank the Lord for the rain. The farmers were praying and the crops are growing. Now you see the rabbit ears of the corn coming up, and it's marvelous to see. Trust that the Lord will continue to bless the whole season. Please note, starting next Sunday, we will have only one Sunday service at 9 a.m. That doesn't really affect you because you're already used to it, right? With Bible class then afterwards in the parish hall. So come to church at 9, Bible class at 10:15 or when I get there, depending upon how long the preacher goes. We have discovered, we believe, what was wrong with the radio the last 2 weeks. Our apologies to all of those who tuned in and couldn't hear our service. It seems the radio station installed some new hardware, some new equipment, and it just wasn't quite set upright to receive our broadcast. So Ron's been working on it, and we believe it's all set. Finally, as you will hear in the prayers today, our Heavenly Father has called Agnes Motz to himself in eternal life. Agnes has been out of the area for the last few years near her son in her old age. Service for Agnes will be this coming Tuesday morning at the Dennis Funeral Chapel on 3rd Street. That's at 11 o'clock. We remember Agnes, her family, in our prayers. Today is Trinity Sunday. We'll be using Divine Service Setting 3, our opening hymn number 837.
Oh,
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. Lord, be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The first reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of all that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 507, Holy, Holy, Holy. Great hymns today, don't you think? The ones that have been with us our whole life. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And then lift up the cross, of course, more to come. Our text for today, for this Trinity Sunday, could come from any of a thousand different parts of the scripture, but our readings for today give us three very familiar places where God has told us who he is and what he's all about. Today we hear from our Lord Jesus as recorded in John 3. You're familiar with 16. I want to focus today on 17. Jesus said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes things are so simple that the real danger is that people will make them more complex and difficult than it has to be. And in making something too difficult, they end up getting it all messed up. Just think about this. How many times haven't you heard others telling others about what they have to be or what they have to do in order to be a Christian? Now, it's true that Jesus tells us to love one another, to forgive one another, to follow him, to trust in him. God tells us, don't be skipping church, clean up your language, honor your parents, do not kill, do not steal or gossip. If you want to get to heaven on your own, then there are lists and lists and lists of things that you must do and things you must not do. But the obvious conclusion of anyone who would try to save themselves is that they can't. It's too hard. In fact, Jesus admits that left to ourselves, it would be impossible for any of us to get to heaven. So, since we cannot save ourselves, God sent his Son into the world to save us. Or as I like to say, to do for us what we could never have done for ourselves. Jesus did not come to save us by telling us what to do so that we can go to heaven. God had already done that with the law, and humans failed miserably, and we're still discovering in our own lives that we can't do it right. So if that's what Jesus came to do, then he really didn't do us any good. No. Jesus says quite clearly, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. We could be condemned all on our own. But he sent his Son into the world to save the world through him. How easy it is to get that wrong. How quick people are to make Jesus into a new lawgiver, a model for us to copy in order that we can go to heaven. What would Jesus do? We should be like him. And it's true, we should be made more and more like Jesus. But that's not about getting to heaven. So, what is really very simple, that God has sent us a Savior, is so easy for people to get confused and to turn absolutely upside down. Ever since Jesus spoke these simple sentences to Nicodemus, the Christian church has been fighting to keep it as simple as Jesus has said it. Jesus is God's Son who came to save us. You see, there's only one way to say it right, but there's a thousand ways to say it wrong. And if you're going to teach people about God's salvation, you better get it right. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is my Savior. I will never claim to be perfect or even close to perfect. I will never lead anyone to believe that I know that I'm going to heaven because I do the right things or feel the right things or think the right things. But I know that I have been saved from sin, death, and eternal damnation because Jesus says that I am. Because Jesus says that I am. And when God says something, what happens? Let there be light. And there is light. Don't let anyone turn that around on you. Don't let anyone tell you that you've got to save yourself, because Jesus himself knows that'll never work. So the first way to destroy the Christian faith is to somehow make yourself responsible for your own salvation. If you could do that, then God didn't need to send his son into the world. If you could do that, then Jesus, the Son of God, didn't need to suffer and die, be buried, rise again, and ascend into heaven. God could have condemned Adam and Eve right there in the garden. He could have destroyed everything right then and there and saved us all the misery of living and dying in this world. But God's purpose was not to condemn Adam and Eve. His purpose was not to condemn any of us. Jesus said it in verse 17. His purpose is to save us. We need to let him do that by confessing our sin and sinfulness and putting our trust in him. If the first way to destroy the Christian faith is to turn Jesus into an angry judge, then the second way to destroy the Christian faith is to deny that Jesus is God. Only God himself could save us. It will not do to believe that Jesus is just another one of the prophets. It will not do to say that Jesus is, oh, just a part of God or a reflection of God or something like that. The Bible is clear from beginning to end. God himself has come to save us. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus does what only God can do. Jesus says what only God can say. As the Bible describes God, so the Bible describes Jesus, God's Son. So while some of the things which God has said about himself in the Bible seem to be contradictory, every time someone has tried to explain the paradoxes, they can't help but say too much. They take something which is very simple and they make it too difficult, and thereby go too far. A paradox is an apparent contradiction where really no contradiction exists. For example, I don't think any of you have any doubt that I'm a sinner. If you do, just get to know me. I know that I've sinned. I know that I have sinned. God knows that I have sinned. He knows that I will continue to sin as long as I am in this sinful, broken, dying world. But God has also said that I am a member of his perfect and eternal family. That is, I'm a saint. In the Bible, God says that those who belong to him have been washed clean of their sins and will be held guiltless in his eyes. So I am at the same time a sinner and a saint. Both are true. And that's true for everyone who has been claimed by God as one of his children through the birth of holy baptism. You are his child, and all his children are perfect. But I also know that you're still a sinner. I don't have to know you too well. That's just the truth for all of us. How can this be? People have tried to explain this, but every time they try to explain how you can be both sinner and saint at the same time, they end up going too far. Some have said, well, my heart is a saint, but my body is a sinner. Not correct according to God's word. According to God's word, you cannot split a person into parts like that. Either the whole person is clean or the whole person is dirty. God says it's all or nothing. As I have said, the second way to destroy the Christian faith is to deny that Jesus is God. Some have said that Jesus is a part of God. God's like a pie, and you cut it into three parts. But Jesus himself has said, I and the Father are one. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father who sent me. If Jesus is wrong on this, well, then he isn't God at all. But if Jesus is God, and we know that he is, then we have simply to take his word on it. It may not make sense, this Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. It's mind-boggling. But it is what God has said. So others have said that Jesus was a man who was adopted as God's son. No. The Bible is clear that there was never a time when Jesus was not. The Bible says that whatever you can say about the Father, you can also say about the Son and about the Holy Spirit. So many people have tried to explain that relationship between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, that the Christian church found it necessary to once and for all make a list of what we can say about the Trinity and what we cannot say about the Trinity. This is Trinity Sunday. They call it the Athanasian Creed. This statement of what we believe was named after a man, well, called Athanasius. He didn't write this creed. In fact, he was long dead by the time this creed was written. But Athanasius was the first biblical scholar to start making a list of what we can say and what we cannot say about God. So, searching the scriptures, Athanasius found that when we speak of one person of the Trinity, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, we're really talking about all three. For example, if we say that God is Almighty, we find out that the Bible says that all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are each Almighty. If God the Father is eternal, then God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are also eternal. Likewise, if we call Jesus the Lord, then we also discover by searching the scriptures that God the Father is called Lord, as is also God the Spirit. So having said this, the Bible then goes on to say that there is only one Almighty and eternal Lord. How's that possible? I don't know. There's lots of things I don't understand about God and probably never will, because he's God and I'm not. Some people say, well, if you Christians believe in this thing called the Trinity, that word Trinity isn't even in your Bible. Have you heard that one? That's true. We believe in one God in three persons, and three persons in one God. Why? Because what the Bible says about it, what it says about one, it says of all three. And then the Bible goes on to say that there is only one God. So, one God is a very biblical expression. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But the Bible also speaks of three persons, and that is where we get the word Trinity. Jesus stands in the river being baptized by John. The Holy Spirit descends upon him as a dove, and a voice from heaven is heard, "This is my Son, listen to him." Three gods? No. Three persons, one God. Now, how's that possible? He doesn't tell us. Next, also based upon the scriptures, is what we can say about how to distinguish the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Where does each person of the Trinity come from? Well, according to the scriptures, according to the Bible, the Father is made of none. neither created nor begotten. Also, according to the Bible, Jesus is begotten of the Father. He wasn't created like Adam and Eve. In fact, he wasn't created at all. But Jesus is begotten. In other words, Jesus is to God the Father as an earthly son is to his earthly father, except neither one of them had a beginning. To say anything different than this is to go against what the Bible teaches. To try to explain it any further than this is to say what the Bible doesn't say. We are merely saying that this is all that we can say about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you'd like to read the entire Athanasian Creed, you can find it on pages 319 and 320 in your bulletin. I'm sorry, we don't have that many pages in the bulletin, do we? In your hymnal, 319 and 320 in your hymnal. And you can see why we don't use this statement of faith every Sunday. It is not a brief description of the Christian faith. That's what the other two creeds are, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. Instead, the Athanasian Creed is meant to clearly state, this is what the Bible teaches about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't explain the Trinity. God in himself is beyond our explaining. But when we do hold firmly to what God has said about himself, we discover that God is giving everything for our salvation. God the Father created us and still preserves us by his grace. God the Son gave his life to redeem us and has gone ahead into heaven to prepare a place for us. God the Holy Spirit has brought the good news of salvation to us 2,000 years after the cross and halfway around the world. We have received the scriptures, the Lord's Supper, the Word of God, and baptism. When all the theological tongue-twisting is finished, it still comes back to what Jesus said to Nicodemus, that God the Father so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. In those words from our Lord Jesus himself, we know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, not three gods, but one almighty eternal God, has given all that he has. The Father sends the Son. The Son gives the Spirit. The Father gives the Son to redeem. The Son sends the Spirit to give us faith and make us the children of God. The whole God is there at work for you. And on this truth, we stake our eternal souls. Amen. Please stand. Now may that peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds steadfast in this faith until life everlasting. Amen. Okay, what am I missing? What's next? There's silence. Lori? The hymn. Please be seated for the hymn. Please stand to sing the offertory. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in your great mercy and your wonderful kindness, you set out not to condemn Adam and Eve and their descendants for the sins they brought into this world, indeed the sins we ourselves have brought into this world, but by your love and mercy to allow for forgiveness and the promise of everlasting life back with you as it should have been from the start. And so you gave your Son to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to bear our sins and pay their price, to die, but not to die eternally, but to rise again to new life, for death could not hold him, to go ahead of us into your eternal kingdom, to prepare a place for us there, to grant and send the Holy Spirit that we too might hear and believe and live as your people now and forever. We are yours, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we give thanks for that salvation that you have brought to us. Heavenly Father, we remember those brothers and sisters in faith who've gone before us, and we thank you for fulfilling your promises to them, as you shall also for us. Especially this day, we thank you for your promise and salvation given to Agnes Motz. We pray that you would bless and keep her family in the comfort of knowing your salvation, and that hope of the great reunion we shall have with all of those who have gone ahead of us. Father, in our troubles, keep our eyes focused upon the fulfillment of your word and promise in your eternal kingdom, but also to see your presence and your comfort with us in all our days. We ask it for Dennis Cole and Janice Keenan, who are in hospice care. We pray that you would bless and keep Dwayne Weifels, who's been hospitalized. Remember your servant Jessica Klinger, we pray, as she recovers from surgery. Bless and keep Arlene Bucher and Fran Hirsch and Pastor Stanley Rosenau, as they undergo treatment and are in care for their ails. Heavenly Father, into your hands we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Cindy, I think I will need that A after all. The Lord be with you. I'm sorry. I've got Cindy all confused. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Please be seated for the closing hymn, number 506, Glory Be to God the Father.